The saga of the state budget continues in Montpelier. Lawmakers are back at the State House today to once again try to find consensus on the state's spending plan for the next fiscal year, which starts on July 1st. And earlier today, the Vermont legislature passed its third budget of the session. For the latest on this, I'm joined live by VPR State House reporter Pete Hirschfeld. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Henry.
So what exactly did the legislature pass today?
Well, if you talk to Democratic leaders in the House and Senate, they'll say what they passed is a good faith compromise with Governor Phil Scott, who, as most people know by now, had vetoed the first two budgets that lawmakers sent him. Phil Scott says he vetoed those budgets because they would have resulted in an increase in statewide property tax rates. And what Phil Scott wants them to do, and what he's asking lawmakers to do in their budget, is to use some surplus revenues in this year's budget to keep property tax rates flat next year. The source of this whole conflict is that lawmakers are philosophically opposed to the idea of using a one-time surplus to buy down property tax rates. They think it's an election year political gimmick, and they think there are all kinds of horrible fiscal things that will happen if you do it. But they say, okay, Governor, we're willing to meet you more than halfway, and they've used about $24 million to hold the line on property tax rates for homeowners. This latest budget uses another $4 million or so to slightly lower the property tax rates that's paid by businesses and second homeowners, and they're hoping this is going to be enough of a give to get a yes from Phil Scott on this budget.
Okay, but this does sound pretty similar to what the Senate passed last week, which Scott said he would not sign. Did lawmakers reach any kind of deal with Scott? Is there any guarantee that he'll go along with this?
Yeah, well, there's no guarantee that he's going to go along with it. Lawmakers did, in the interim, try to get some kind of a grand bargain with Phil Scott, and it turned out to be quite an ill-fated venture. So as you mentioned, the Senate passed its budget. Phil Scott said, I still don't like it. And so House Speaker Mitzi Johnson entered into some closed-door negotiations with the Scott administration, and they emerged from those bargaining sessions with what at first blush looked like something that everybody was going to be able to live with. The whole idea was to take any additional budget surpluses that materialized this year and use a portion of that money for the tax rate buy-down that Phil Scott has been so insistent about. The House was on board with that plan. The governor was on board with that plan. The Senate, though, very critically, was not on board with that plan. Senate Democrats say they've gone as far as they're going to go in terms of using one-time money to buy down tax rates. And in the face of that opposition from the Senate, the House backed away from those compromise measures and went with a budget that was substantially similar to the plan passed by the Senate last week.
And so, okay, so what happens if Phil Scott does end up vetoing this budget as well?
Well, if Phil Scott vetoes this budget, then lawmakers will be back in the State House Wednesday to try to override it. Recall that lawmakers tried to override the second veto the governor issued this year on the state budget. That was just last week, actually. But they failed to do so. House Republicans stood united. They were able to muster the votes needed to thwart that override attempt. In the face of a government shutdown, it's possible that House Republicans might not be so willing to sustain the governor's veto this time, given the potential consequences. If the governor does veto it, though, and House Republicans are able to sustain that veto, then they're back at the drawing board again. And House Speaker Mitzi Johnson says she'll do everything in her power to get a budget deal in place before the fiscal year expires. And even if Scott does veto this budget, lawmakers will still have a couple short days to try to make that deal happen.
Yeah, and again, this fiscal year, of course, ends or turns over on July 1st. So, Pete, as this drags on, what's the political cost for lawmakers and the governor who are facing re-election later this year?
You know, it's so hard to say, Henry. The question is, are Vermonters paying attention to the specifics of the policy dispute in question, or are they just kind of looking at the prospect of a government shutdown and looking at all of this partisan gridlock and wondering what the heck is going on, just kind of getting disgusted by what they're seeing and by elected officials' inability to work together? If it's the latter, then it's really possible that this could tarnish Phil Scott's reputation as a moderate coalition builder. That said, Phil Scott comes to the table with a pretty simple message, right? No new taxes is essentially his tagline. And that's a much easier message to bring to the campaign trail than this more nuanced message that Democrats are trying to articulate. So It's definitely going to have an effect on the way Vermonters are feeling about their elected officials come Election Day. What exactly that effect is going to be, we're going to have to wait until November to find out.
Okay. Well, Pete Hirschfeld reports on the State House for VPR. Pete, thanks so much.
Thank you, Henry.